Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Well, good morning. Look at that. 9:06. Where'd the morning go? Walter's already here. How's your drive in?
My drive was fantastic. Yeah. There was actually no traffic today. Mm-hmm. And no orange cones, which is weird.
Buy a lottery ticket.
I'm so used to see them now. When I don't see them, I freak out. I don't know.
I know. Coming in from the West Island, where I live in St. Laurent, I take Henri Bourassa heading east. At one point, it's a sea of orange, Walter. It's a sea of orange.
You know, I'm actually, that color is starting to grow on me. I think I'm going to own my first orange shirt ever.
So you'll blend.
I just blend, you know. Tell me you're in Montreal without telling me.
If you want to talk to Walter, pick his brain. Walter has you for Monopco. All those years of experience, he can help you out, maybe guide you in the right direction, and just give you some helpful advice here. If you have a project at home that needs taken care of, a lot of people get things done in the fall, right? Because you're busy in the winter, you're traveling, what have you, and you say, you know what, I'll take care of this in the fall. So maybe a lot of people have some stuff on their plate they want to take care of. 514-790-0800. You know what I have to take care of? The downspouts, you know, from the gutters.
Yep.
Yeah. Some of them are, need to be replaced. So it's something on my list.
Instead of replacing them, look into seeing if they're blocked. Because more often than not, when the gutters block, it's the downspout that is the culprit. So if the downspout blocks, it ruins your whole system in the sense that water will start gushing from everywhere. So get in the habit of cleaning the gutters, you know, those professional cleaning companies like Adam Eves, they do it. And what you do is you pressure wash, really, the gutters, and they put a high pressure into the downspouts in order to ensure that they're in good working order. So more often than not, just maintaining it, you don't require any repairs. Because we do get a lot of inquiries about replacing gutters when you don't need to. Mm. They tell you, well, there's water gushing in here, gushing in there. It's just a question. You go up there, you see bird nests, you see leaves, you see a fax machine, a photocopier, you name it. Okay. So just get in the habit of, if you can do it yourself, and I don't blame you because it's not an easy job to do, there are lots of companies that do it. And make it like part of your yearly maintenance. It's not that expensive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Walter, we didn't get to this last week. I think it came in. It came in the last couple of minutes of the show. It says, "Good morning, Ken and Walter. My son just finished the cabinet making course at Rosemount. He's doing a stage AAA ébénisterie. Any advice? He wants to take the finishing course as well. Is that a good idea?"
Woodworking in general, it's, you know, in construction, the most sought after profession would be carpentry.
Yeah.
The reason being is a carpenter can touch a lot of different things. Even like in the CCQ competency cards, which will kind of force you to have competency cards for different trades and what have you, a carpenter have a way wider range of things he's allowed to touch than any other trade.
Okay.
Plus, because it's so vast of a field, it makes you, if you want, a lot more competent in other fields in the construction industry. So anything you can put additional trade you can add to your skill in carpentry is a very good idea.
This came in last week as well, and I just got it again. Can Walter comment on tankless water heaters for the cottage? That's from Gordon.
Tankless water heaters are good if you don't consume lots of hot water. So if you're a big family, it's not a great idea.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, the initial cost for them is prohibitive. It's way more expensive than just a regular hot water tank. So if you're just a person living alone, you know, it's not a bad thing. But when you're a family...
And a big consumer of it. Yeah,
big consumer of it, it's not really that great.
All right. 514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Walter. 514-790-0800. John just dialed up. John, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You want to talk about the basement. What's going on?
I wanted to know if we're doing a full gut job in a basement, is it worth it to do that encapsulating that they advertise, the Sous-Sol Quebec or something?
What are you encapsulating for?
Well, I hear on the radio, on this station, they're always advertising that you're to avoid humidity and bad smells. They advertise Sous-Sol Quebec, I think it's the company.
But the reason I'm asking you this is because there's different encapsulators for different things. If you are, for example, removing asbestos, we encapsulate the fibers.
Asbestos.
If you are directing that for mold, I don't think that's a good idea because technically you should not encapsulate mold.
What does encapsulating entail?
Encapsulating is something that you seal in place. Okay, so it's let's say you have a mold colony, instead of removing it, you encapsulate it, so it's a type of a sealer, if you wish, that you put on top. So that's why we keep on asking, what are you encapsulating for? Now, if mold is
just
your main...
To avoid humidity and maybe smells,
okay.
But I don't notice anything there, but I'm just saying, now that we're gutting, is it worth it to do it?
So here's what I would recommend. If you... Again, humidity should not be encapsulated. It should be actually stopped at the source, because you're gonna create that type of buildup somewhere else, okay? And eventually, it will protrude through. So, if you have a humidity issues due to a foundation crack, the crack should be fixed. If it's a French drain issue, it should be looked after. If it's a sump pump issue, it should be. Sometimes it's just a question. I'll give you an example. If you have a sump pump pit in your basement, and that's not well covered, the amount of water evaporation that comes out of that pit and creates humidity in your basement is mind-boggling. Mm. So it's something that small. We think that's a small hole, it's nothing. But if you see how many gallons per day gets evaporated into the air and creates that humidity, so simply by just doing a cover there, you don't have a problem.
So question then. So then if I don't have any issues, I can do the renovation, and then if I do notice that I need to have this done, they still can do it afterwards, right?
Well, I mean, it depends what they're encapsulating. What I would recommend for you to do, John, if your basement is all demolished now, there are ways to look for signs of humidity or moisture. One of them is the presence of efflorescence. The second one would be the musty smell. And the third one will be the marks of condensation or water marks somewhere. If you don't have any of these, chances are you don't have that problem, okay? But what I would tell you, though, since everything is demolished, it's a great idea to disinfect and sanitize the structure before you build the new material. So that includes a cement slab, the foundation, and the ceiling joists, if they're accessible as well.
Mm-hmm. How's that, John?
How would I sanitize them?
So there's a couple of ways. One of them is you rent a HEPA, if you don't want to buy one, you rent a HEPA vacuum cleaner. It have to be not a HEPA filter, but a HEPA vacuum. It's a big difference between the two. And you vacuum the slab, the walls, the ceilings, anywhere you can get the vacuum head to, you vacuum it. And then you apply mold control or Foster or Cognorium. There's multiple different products that you can apply. Or if you want, you can just simply do it by TSP, trisodium phosphate. Okay, so you just buy that from, that's a cheaper way if you want to do it. You buy that from any hardware store. It looks like a milk carton. There's instructions on how much water, how much, but be very careful from one thing, and that's important, is do not overwater, meaning do not make it wet to the extent where the wetness itself in the basement increases the humidity, which creates mold spores. That becomes counterintuitive.
Okay.
All right, John. Well good luck with that.
You've been very informative.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Thingamajig indeed. 922-514-7900-800 is the number to call and talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Just like Rosalind did in, hang on one second. That was my fault. There you are. Hi, Rosalind.
Hi.
Hi. You're calling from Saint Laurent. What's the situation with your roof?
So we had our roof changed. We have a duplex, and it was originally tar and gravel. Uh-huh. And we hired a roofing company in 2018 to change the roof. They advised us that the membrane would be much better. We changed the roof. We paid for it. And then this year, when we started to have a lot of rain, my mother-in-law lives upstairs. She's 93. And by the time she noticed that the paint was peeling, I called the roofing company to come and check, because the company that had originally changed the roof lost their license in 2019. Mm. So they changed our roof in 2018. In January 2019, they lost their license.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so the roof, I had the roofing company come, and they told me that the whole thing has to be replaced, that it's done so badly that they refuse to repair it. Either replace it or they're not going to touch it. Hmm. And I had three different companies come, and they all told me the same thing.
You surprised by that, Walter?
I am unfortunately not surprised. The roofing is one of these black holes, trades that nobody checks as much and quality-wise and what have you. It's the most nerve-wracking trade in a house, in the sense that it can literally destroy your house when something goes wrong. Mm. And it's the least checked and verified by homeowners, which is nerve-wracking, really. And we see that often. We get these calls all the time, unfortunately. Mm. Now, just for a question of recourse, Roslyn, one of the things you could do, although the company went bankrupt, you could try your luck with the RBQ. If they were licensed RBQ professionals, they could have had a bond in place, and then the RBQ takes over. Or sometimes the APCHQ. So you look at the old accreditation of that company, because usually when you have a license, you know, some of us have APCHQ designations, ACQ, and RBQ. And every time you have that type of certification, you might have something in place that could give you certain recourse. So the bond takes over.
Okay, so either the RBQ or the ACPQ?
APCHQ. I don't know why they make them long with so many letters, but now the reason I'm saying this, APCHQ can only help if the contractor had that accreditation or certification. Okay. If they did not, they definitely had an RBQ. Now, try your luck.
Yeah, I looked them up. That's how I knew that they lost their license, because I was trying to reach them. Okay. And I couldn't reach them, so I looked up their RPQ number, and I saw that they had lost their license in January of 2019.
Now, I just want to touch on that, and that's why it's important when you're hiring a contractor. The RBQ is a beginning of one story, okay? But it's not the whole story. It's, if you wish, the minimum that you need in Quebec to operate as a company. You want to look at the other certifications of every company as a whole, because the more certified they are, the more chances you have of recourses in case something goes wrong. So in this case, we don't know if they are APCHQ certified. Usually when they are, they advertise it on their business cards or their contracts or what have you. And that's one way. Or if you go to their old website, if you're lucky enough, you could see it. Now, if not, start with the RBQ and see what kind of recourse you have.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Were you calling for that, or you had another question?
Well, I have another question. I heat with oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wanted to convert it to electricity.
Yeah.
And when I had the company come to check, they told me that all the pipes in the house are covered with asbestos, and that first I would have to have a hazmat company come and take out all the pipes, and then they would be able to come in and change the heating.
Okay.
That's a very, very, very big expense aside from the roof leaking.
Okay.
So I want to know, is there a way I could go around that, put like radiators for now, and take care of that issue in the spring because we would have to leave the house if they have to open all the pipes out the asbestos.
Not necessarily. It could be done by containment zones, and you don't necessarily need to. And usually it could be done in a couple of days, so it's not a long process. The way the asbestos around pipes is removed, what they do is they have this asbestos bag, we call it, So it wraps around the pipe, and you stick your hands in it, and you use that for the asbestos to go straight into the bag and in a sealed fashion. So it's not as intrusive as breaking plaster that have a friable material that can go airborne. So it's, okay, it is doable. Now, I would very, very, very highly not recommend for you to go with the electric baseboard route.
Okay.
I'm strongly, strongly advising against it because it's the worst form of heating in your home.
Okay.
It dries up the home. It's not good at all. Okay. And it's not comfortable and it's not healthy.
Okay.
Right now, if you have a hot water type furnace, it's the best form, the best form of heating you can ever buy.
But I'm worried about the insurance because they're saying that if something goes wrong, they can, they won't fix it.
No, okay, we're talking about two different things. You can convert, you can convert water heating to electricity. So you're getting rid of the oil, but you're keeping the same system in place. So you're just swapping the source of energy to that system. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Plus the furnaces for the hot water are a lot smaller. So it's you know, the new ones specifically, they're very small. They take very little space. You know, it's also actually one of the more affordable or the heat, if you want heat and energy and what have you, it's one of the most well-performing as well.
Okay.
So you don't even need to humidify in the winter when you have that system, which is a huge plus. You have no idea.
Roslyn, I'm sorry you got such a dealt such a bad hand with that roof and that roofing company because it's a big job, it's a big project. Hope we were some help for you on this call.
You were. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and happy retirement and enjoy your days.
Thank you, Roslyn.
I hope she's talking to Ken.
Yes, of course.
Thanks, Roslyn. Bye. Look at the time. It's 9:30. We're coming back with more of your phone calls here. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
I didn't want the commercials to end. Walter was saying such nice things about my work.
Stop.
935-514-790-0800. You're going to miss me. Let me go to Sylvia in the town of Mount Royal. Sylvia.
Hi.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Thank you for waiting.
Oh, that's all right. All right,
are you going to make the change from oil to electricity?
Well, I don't know. This is my question. Right. I've been told that if I change to electricity, I won't be happy with the heat. Right now I have hot water heating with the small rads and the big cast iron furnace, and I have three zones, so I heat three floors, which is approximately 4,500 square feet. So I'm just wondering, since I'm at an advanced stage, whether I'd be happy at it, you know, doing it, and whether it would be worthwhile.
Well, I mean, it's not a question of it's worthwhile or not. It's a question of soon enough, we won't have much of a choice.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of stuck. Now, some people are running their furnaces to the ground, meaning they want to try to buy as much time as they can, and that's fine, that's fair. Especially if the furnace is not that old, you can take that chance because small repairs you're allowed to do. It's any major components that fail that you're not allowed to do. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages for both systems. As far as oil is concerned, for me, it's a dirty process of heating simply because there's a boiler and there's oil and there's a smell and so on and so forth. But it is an efficient way to heat specifically for hot water. It heats it up much faster than electricity. Now, there are ways to counter-intense that, so it's not really the newer furnaces and heat pumps are extremely efficient. So you won't, as far as heat is concerned, you won't miss a beat, okay? And as a matter of fact, chances are you're going to have a much better furnace with variable speeds, and you're going to have the heat pump that's going to kick in most of the time. So it's, the heavy lifting is going to be on your heat pump more than it is going to be on your furnace per se. And that's important to mention. 90% to 95% of your usage is going to be your heat pump. So that's where you want to focus, that you have a good quality and good tonnage as well, meaning you have a big home. 4,500 square feet is a big area to heat. So you might even need a couple of heat pumps. So instead of getting one big one, you might divide it into two zones, and you'll have each heat pump serving a different zone. And that's going to be a study that have to be done through your ventilation technician. Okay, but it's important to mention that as far as hot water is concerned, there are ways you can install pumps and what have you to ensure that you have instant hot water. You know, so you don't feel the, if you want, the change, because there will be a change in the sense that if you use a lot of hot water, the oil usually, like if you're a big family and you have one tank, the oil will usually serve you a lot longer and better than the electricity. So there are ways, there are many ways, and one of them could be just swapping to a bigger hot water tank, so you have enough hot water to use. I would not make that as a deal breaker, if you wish. But the other thing you could also do is you're not obliged to go with electricity. You could go with natural gas or with propane. These are allowed energy sources to heat your home. So, and they will heat up the hot water as fast as oil would.
Right. But now I have three zones. So do I need one furnace or three different furnaces?
Well, you don't have three furnaces now. You have one, but you have a domotic system, right?
Right.
So that's
three zones.
Yeah, so, you could do the same. It's going to be the same exact installation, except it's going to be electric. So the domotic system is in place. You just swap the furnace.
Right.
And that's a good way to go. Like the fact that you have three zones and you install it as such is very intelligent, actually. Not much. When it comes to big homes, it's important that it's well thought of from the get-go. Because, you know, some technicians rely more on, oh, we'll get you a bigger machine. A bigger machine is good and dandy, but in a big home, does not distribute evenly, and the balancing is a nightmare.
Mm.
So you would need to have a domotic system to have the adequate temperature.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Okay. So like the heating that I would get, I've been told that during the weather, if the weather is very cold, that I won't be happy with the heat. Is that true?
That is not true. That is completely false. Look, I've done a project on a home that is 12,000 square feet.
Right.
That's big. That's almost 2.5 times the size of your home.
Yeah.
And they are on full-on electric. There's no problem.
There you go, Sylvia. Yeah. Who told you that? Name names.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Good luck, Sylvia. Thanks for the call.
Retirement.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I have time for Jenny. Jenny, are you there?
Hi. I have the same question.
Oh, okay. Did you hear anything in the previous call that was of help?
We just pressed the rewind button.
A little bit.
Okay.
Well, I have been heating my house for many, many years with oil.
Yeah.
And now, since everything's changing and things are so expensive, I'm thinking of going to electricity. But I don't know how long I'm going to remain in this house.
Because you're downsizing, you mean?
Yes, okay. I might be downsizing, okay. But I don't know when. Could be 5 years from now.
Okay. Right.
So what do you suggest? Is it still better to change to electricity at this point?
I mean, it's really a tough answer. It's where my worries are. My worries are, let's say that, hypothetically speaking, that furnace breaks down and it's a major component in the dead of winter.
Mm.
This is not a question. The conversion, it's a good long day, 2 days work. And to get the technician there and to get the equipment there and to sign the contract and to find the company and so on and so forth. That's where my main worry remains in case
something goes
wrong.
I'm
not talking necessarily this year or even next year. I'm talking maybe in a couple of years because The truth of the matter is all these furnace companies have stopped producing parts for these
House was built in 1956, so it's not a new house.
Yeah.
And it's a cast iron furnace.
Yeah, so it's an old furnace. It's usually these guys are more efficient than you think, and they're more robust than you think. But still, it's 1956, so you're kind of pushing your luck. Now, if you are selling your house next year, I'll tell you, okay, we'll take a chance. But if you have a five-year plan in your head, then, you know, you're going to have to do it sooner or later. So either you live with that stress,
okay,
or you don't. And right now, there's very interesting subventions. Like, do not let the costs scare you. Because the government is very aggressive, or Hydro-Québec is very aggressively paying out good sums of money to help out in this. So it's worth looking into because in 3 years, maybe.
Do I call Hydro-Québec to ask how much they're giving?
No. What you do is even better. You get the ventilation companies to explain you what they can do the calculation right then and there, and they tell you to the penny what you're gonna get back from
the government.
Okay.
Okay. Now the other thing that is important is who knows in 3 years these subventions are gonna stay in place. So let's say you do it two years from now, enough people have converted, they eliminate the subvention, and then, you know, you're stuck with a whole bill to pay.
Yeah, grab it while the going is good.
That's good.
You helped me quite a bit.
Oh, thanks, Jenny.
Because, you know, I have to get contracts to clean the furnace, and it's a real headache. So
and you know what? In an electric furnace, you don't have to do that anymore, which is another saving for you.
I should call a ventilation company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would know about how much the government gives?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Good luck, Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
We are back with Walter Assey from Inovco at 514-790-0800. Let me bring in Rob. Wants to talk about some gutters, but they're not your gutters, right, Rob?
No, they're my mother's up in Rosemere there. She has a small bungalow. Mm-hmm. And I guess her house was built in the 50s, and it seems like they're starting to pop out of the roof there. So I'm wondering if it's good to get repaired or just replace the whole thing. She's a senior citizen living on a budget.
Mm. Why? They're coming. You said they're detaching from the roof.
Popping out.
Right.
Popping out.
Okay. So your issue is not the gutter. Your issue is the wood and the fascia that is probably rotting. So you could have had some type of water infiltration, and that usually occurs when you have a roof that was changed without a drip edge. So a lot of the water tend to find its way through the fascia, and then with time it rots.
Okay.
Now the nails that are in the gutters, because of that wood rot, they start detaching from your fascia.
And yeah, the nails are like in some sort of like little sleeve. Like there's a sleeve in there, and the nails are in. And I try and nail them back in, but they pop out. Like,
yeah, you're wasting your time doing that. You need to do is if the gutter is still in good shape, you could take it off and then change that rotted piece, and you can nail them back in, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Is the gutter in good shape, Rob?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I don't know how old it is, but I'm sure they replaced it one time. It was my grandfather's house originally. So I think they've been replaced once. They're not bad, but I think they need to be repaired, or you're saying change that piece of wood. But
sometimes it's just a section of that. Yes. I mean, any carpenter can do that for you. Even the gutter guys could do that for you in certain cases. Certain gutter companies have carpenters on hand. Their staff is trained to change those pieces, because that's a common problem, unfortunately, when it comes to roof and gutters and fascias and so on and so forth. What I want to tell you is just make sure the next time that you change your roof, because you want to go to the source of the problem. Why is this happening? Sometimes it just happens because there's no aluminum capping or vinyl capping on the fascia. It's just exposed, and the wood rots just naturally because if it's exposed to the elements. And other times, just simply because of the drip edge lacking on the roof. So if that's the case, change the drip edge.
There you go, Rob.
Sounds good. Great. Just one other thing, like up in that area in Rosemere, like do I just look on the internet for people up there? Because I find it's hard to find anybody that does
Correct.
Work in that area.
Gutters, you have to go by area. So, you go by area and you Google like gutter companies in Rosemere. So anybody in the Laurentians or the Rive Nord will service that area.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the day.
Thanks, Rob. You too. Let me bring in Antoinette. Antoinette, hi.
Hi.
Good morning. We got about 3 minutes here before news comes in. You want to talk about your walls cracking?
Yes. Another question also. First, we'll start with the walls. I had tenant that they didn't use their dryer. They were drying their clothes in the apartment. Many times I advised them, but they didn't listen. After they left, I saw cracks on the ceiling, on the walls. It's not only cracks, it's like explosion. Some places like it's bumpy and black dots on the walls. I called the company and they told me they have to clean the wall and maybe they are going to paint it with Zinsser paint to cover that black dots on the wall. I think it's mold, they told me. Is there anything I can do?
Yes. Do not listen to their advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What part of the house is this room?
Bedrooms. Okay. They were drying bedrooms and in the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
The kitchen I demolished completely. The ceiling was really moldy and champignon. You know the
So. When we have mold, it's very seldom it's surface mold. But there's a way to know if it's surface mold or it is a cavity mold. Now, it's very important not to camouflage the problem. I know that, contractors sometimes overuse the word bin or shellac the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, putting lipstick on the problem, and that's really not going to work. What you want to do is you want to have a moisture test to see in a composant of the material itself. There are machines or even thermal imaging cameras that we can determine if the water is coming or the humidity is coming from the cavity outwards. In this case, you need to solve the source of the problem, cut the drywall open so you can get rid of the mold colony that is there in the wet materials, and take out the wet insulation, and disinfect, and then dry, and then rebuild.
So you start with a moisture test?
You start with a moisture test or a thermal imaging test. Now, if you want to do it in-house and you want to do the testing yourself, what you do is you clean those mold spots yourself very carefully, depending on how many you have. If you have too many, then I would get a professional. But if it's a small area, you could even use liquid Dawn soap or something with very damp, not wet type of a cloth. You clean that area. You make sure that the mold stains are off. And you see and you wait a couple of few weeks or maybe a couple of months. You see if it comes back.
Right.
If it comes back, then that means it's a cavity issue and not a thing. And that's number one. Number two is you want to look at the relative humidity of your apartment. So you want to see if you have yourself creating too much humidity through cooking or lack of the existence of ventilation fans, extraction fans, and what have you, and that could be causing the problem.
Antoinette, I wish we had more time, but we're up against the clock. Thank you for the phone call. Hope that was some help for you. Walter, great hour.
Oh, thank you, Ken. And sorry about not being able to take all the calls. We really try our best.
Yeah, we apologize to those who are still on hold. Walter's back, though, next Saturday morning, right after the 9 o'clock news to answer more of your phone calls. Lisa is standing by. Lisa Christensen with The Car Show. Have a terrific day Saturday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock here on Weekends with Ken.